on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
There are only 140 athletes from Ukraine at the Olympics. That's the smallest group in the country's history at the Summer Games. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine today, as always. And Joe, I guess for those athletes, it's a mix of emotions, trying to enjoy the Olympics and mindful of the burden of the war back home, huh?
Indeed, Bob, and hello from Kyiv. You know, I think there's a burden to represent Ukraine well, to perform well. To keep Ukraine in the news. It's also, you know, surely we're going to see some difficult moments in the Olympics because there are Russian athletes there. They have to compete under sort of a neutral flag. They're not allowed to compete under the Russian flag. And of course, you know, the original idea of the revitalization of the Olympic Games in 1896 was, you know, in keeping with the ancient Greek concept of having a global, you know, having a truce among warring parties. Of course, we don't see that. We don't see Russia moving in that direction. And there are, according to the official stats from the government in Ukraine, 487 of Ukraine's top athletes, so people who could have been in these games, have been killed, either in battle or as civilians. And as I know the story from friends who are athletes in cities like Dnipro and Kharkiv, so many of the training centers have been destroyed. And, you know, then you think of the pressure of knowing, you know, if your loved ones are going to be okay during attacks. And so it's an incredibly emotional and difficult situation. And there are thousands of athletes serving in the Ukrainian military. And that's one reason why Ukraine and many other people around the world were not happy that the International Olympic Committee even allowed Russian athletes to participate, even under a neutral flag. And so we are certainly going to see tensions about that and conversations about that come up during these next few weeks. And as we look at, you know, here just a few countries away in France, you know, the Olympic Games will be some sort of celebration. But here you have a massive war, the largest war in Europe since World War II. And in the past 24 hours, that some of that war has spilled outside of Ukrainian territory. There's the little city called Ishmael, from which I reported to you maybe it was last October. Ishmael is on the River Danube, the same river that flows through Vienna and Budapest. It flows, it becomes a border of Ukraine with Romania as it enters into the Black Sea. And there's a little city there called Ishmael that it's a major port on the river. And this has become one of the places, especially when the Russians were successfully blockading the Black Sea. Ukrainians were using Ishmael port to export grain through the River Danube. Now Ukrainians control the Black Sea in many ways, so they have many more options. But the Russians have continued to attack Ukrainian ports when they can. And the past couple of days, we've had once again this dance macabre, not of missiles, but of drones flying all over Ukraine. And the Russians sent drones to the little city of Ishmael there in the Danube, and right across from it's Romania. When I reported to you from there last October, I was on the banks of the river. I could see Romania just across the water. And what we had in the past 24 hours, the Russian drones, it seems at least one of them entered Romanian airspace. And the Romanians, it's a NATO country, they engaged in air defense. They used their Gepard self-propelled anti-aircraft guns to shoot down the drones, both over Romanian soil, over the river, and over the River Danube and over Ukraine. And so we've seen now a NATO country engaged in shooting down weapons from Russia, actually Iranian-produced weapons from Russia that flew into Romanian airspace. This is pretty remarkable. I think it's something that shouldn't go missed. I mean, we've seen a few times Russian missiles, as they are doing this dance macabre, they've entered Polish airspace very briefly. And Poland has, engaged its, sent its fighter, its F-16s into the airspace. But we haven't really, I don't think we've seen, anti-aircraft guns from a NATO country firing upon incoming Russian weapons until what we saw in Romania the past 24 hours.
No, that's remarkable. I was watching a report yesterday on the Ukrainian athletes who, some of them had to move because training facilities were bombed, and for many, they had a difficult decision. Do they leave their families and friends because they want to train, or do they try to stay there and train for the Olympics? Will people there get to watch it, Joe?
Yeah, sure, and I'm sure, you know, as it was with the European soccer tournament, you know, people will watch this, and it's, you know, it's a way to take a break from things and to cheer on their countrymen. So I'm sure the Olympics will be popular viewing, even on iPhones in the trenches, or in the dugouts, in the front lines. So and it's, you know, I think there's a sense of you know, if you're imagine if you're an athlete and you're training. You know, you probably feel a little bit of guilt. You know, why are you not a soldier at the front?
Right.
I think everyone wrestles with that here who's not at the front line. But you realize based on your talents and how you can contribute to the society, do what you can. And I think that there will be a lot of support for the Ukrainian athletes. And we'll see if there's some good moments of, you know, that can help inspire the country. Because those, I mean, as with any country, I think America needs some good moments in the Olympics, too. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone needs some encouragement. And mm-hmm. So I think it applies for all of us.
Sad to hear about, I think it's nearly 500 Ukrainian athletes that have been killed in the war. I mean, how terrible is that?
I mean, and that's elite athletes, but so many more, you know, athletes at all different levels who've been killed. And this is, you know, as we have this, we also have this dispute with several other countries that will be participating at the Olympics, Hungary and Slovakia. As we talked about maybe last week, Ukraine has cut off oil to Hungary and Slovakia, oil that comes from Russia. Ukraine allowed this to pass through for 2.5 years. Now they've cut it off, and Viktor Orban's administration is very angry, saying this is unacceptable. By the way, Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary, has never said Russia's actions are unacceptable, but he's furious that Ukraine would cut off the oil. The European Commission has rejected the appeals of Hungary and Slovakia to put pressure on Ukraine to permit that oil to enter Hungary. And I think this is a little bit of a signal of not desperation, but a signal from Ukraine. If you don't give Ukraine permission to hit back at the Russian bases, they're going to have to be very creative, and they're going to have to cause some disruption because they don't really have a choice.
Right. You mentioned guilt. Let me tell you something interesting. I've got a couple of days off, Monday and Tuesday, and I was thinking, I almost feel guilty taking off, thinking about you. I mean, we've had these conversations every day for so long now, and you can't leave. You know, you're gonna be there, and we can go travel, take a couple of days off. I mean, I feel for you, Joe.
Well, I mean, I can leave, and you know, there are times when I think like almost anyone here, where you think. You know, and especially with foreigners here, you get tired and it's frustrating. And you say, hey, maybe it's okay to take a break. But I think I see that, you know, you start to talk to people around you. You listen to the sacrifices of the men and women at the front lines, the soldiers and the medics. And then I see these incredible foreigners, Americans, Europeans, Japanese of all different ages, young and old, who come here, feeling inspired here. And people who have been in many different war zones around the world, and they say never before have they seen such clear purpose than they have here. And so that's the benefit in the sense of being here. But sometimes I can be tired. And even today I was thinking, do I call in sick, you know, and not talk to the audience. And but I think it's I always feel good after speaking with you all. And it's a way to that we're not that people here are not alone, there's a world out there that cares and listens. So I feel energized always after we finish talking, no matter how I feel before.
I like that. I'm glad we're giving you some therapy. Well, that's right. You can go, but you don't. And I really admire that. Wendy, I'll check in with you Monday, Joseph. Thank you.
Great. And talk to you soon, Bob.
Yep.